The Lord has laid some scripture on my heart, and it's found in 1 Samuel chapter number 1. And I would like for you to turn with me to that text, where we'll begin reading in the 13th verse of this chapter. And I would ask you to stand with me in reverence to the reading of God's precious word. I want to preach on this thought today. The woman God remembers. The woman God remembers. You may say, Pastor Darren, I'm a man. This doesn't apply to me. There'll be truths for each and every one of you today. Verse 13. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thine wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. The woman God remembers. Father, would you help us now to preach what you've laid on our heart? Father, we'll be needing your spirit and your strength. Lord, help us, I pray. Would you touch this congregation? Feed us today the word that we might be helped and encouraged. The way is hard and progress is slow, but God, you can do it. And help us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Some years ago, my wife and I had gone to the state fair in Asheville over, I think, at the agricultural center over in there. And from a distance, I saw a man. He was pumping water with one of them old hand pumps that you'd find in a well back in the Old West or maybe in some of these mountain areas. But as I got closer, it just caught my attention. And as I started making my way that direction, suddenly I realized that it wasn't a real man. It was a mechanical, like a wooden type thing. And there was water running out of that spout where he was pumping. But it wasn't the man pumping the water. The water was pumping the man and making him move. And God got on me to thinking about that, about how we find ourselves controlled by problems and by pressures. Hannah is being controlled by problems and pressures in life. What to do? Number one, there is the pain that she cannot ease. She has a physical problem. In verse 5, the Bible tells us that the Lord had shut her womb. She was barren, physically unable to have children. Her womb was unfruitful. Her womb was unproductive. She had a good husband, Elkanah. There was love in their home. They would have surely been a great set of parents, but she was barren. If there was anyone deserving of motherhood, it was Hannah, but she was barren. She had a physical problem, and it was the Lord that had done this to her. Not only is it a physical problem, but it's a spiritual picture. Look in verse 6 at the end of the verse. The Lord had shut up her womb. It says it twice. Her condition was permitted and controlled by the Lord. Sometimes what we think is so terrible is really God's good hand of grace at work in our lives. In those days, barrenness represented to the people as God's displeasure, because God had said to the man and the woman, be fruitful and multiply. And now she cannot, for she is barren. And it looks like God is against her. And people, when they see problems come to people's life, they judge them and they think it's God's displeasure in their life because they're not right with God. In that day, it was the desire of all the young ladies to get married and to have children and to become a mother. In fact, it was so important to one young lady named Rachel in Genesis chapter 30. She said, give me children, else I die. So for Hannah, her womb being barren was a great embarrassment. She was a reproach. She was a disgrace. She felt inadequate. I'm talking to some young lady today. Maybe I'm talking to someone who's elderly. You feel inadequate. You feel like things have not worked out as they should have. Let's talk about some wording in the scripture that describes Hannah's problem. You have your Bible, look at verse number 6. You're going to see the word provoked. You're going to see the word fret. Look at verse 7. She wept. Look at verse 8. She is grieved. Look at verse 10. She was in bitterness of soul. Verse 11, affliction. Verse 15, sorrowful spirit. Verse 16, complaint. Do you see there are 8 words then that describe her physical problem and the heartbreak and pain that she is experiencing? This phrase found in verse 10, you need to underline it. She's in bitterness of soul. There are only 3 people in the Bible that are said to be or have bitterness of soul. One of them was a man by the name of Job. Do we know a little about the book of Job and his suffering? He was in bitterness of soul. What did God do? He gave him double. The other one was Hezekiah. When the man of God said, set your house in order, you're going to die and not live. And Hezekiah rolled his face to the wall and turned his back on everything else. He was in bitterness of soul. What'd God do? When Hezekiah prayed, God healed him. Now here's Hannah. She's in pretty good company. Job and Hezekiah. She is in bitterness of soul. She has a pain she cannot ease. Number 2, there is a person that she cannot please. Hannah's situation of being barren is compounded by the fact there's a person in her life she cannot avoid. It's a lady. Her name is Peninnah. It just so happens that Peninnah is her husband's other wife. Trouble, problems in the home every year. Elkanah, the husband, took his 2 wives and family to Shiloh to worship. When they got there, he sacrificed unto the Lord. And when he did, he would give a portion to Penina and her sons and her daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a worthy portion. Look at verse 5. A worthy portion. Now Penina saw that worthy portion and she felt like, why is Hannah getting a double or a worthy portion? And we, my family, has the leftovers. And she felt like she was scorned. Oh, a woman scorned is going to turn into being Hannah's thorn. This turned out to be painful criticism. Penina and Hannah became adverse one to the other. The Bible says in verse 6 that Penina provoked her sore. The word means to prey on an animal, like to make it a victim. And it caused her to fret, which means she trembled. Her strategy is to get under Hannah's skin and get rid of her. I'm telling you, she's facing criticism. There's somebody today, you've got a person that's your critic. Man, they are under your skin. Their name comes up. Your blood pressure rises. You start trembling inside. You are freaking out. And this happened when they went to the house of God. What about how the devil knows how to cause you to react differently one to another? People have asked me during my sickness, Pastor Darren, we're praying for you. Is there anything we can do? To one or two people, or maybe three or four, this has been my reply. If you want to do something for me as your pastor, love each other. Just love each other. Get along. Don't backbite one another. Don't provoke one another. We're just in this life together. And we're here to serve Jesus Christ. Quit provoking and get past these issues and learn to love one another. She has painful criticism. She also has persistent contempt. The Bible says in verse 7, she did so year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord. So she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. Not only did this happen at the house of God, but it's happening at home, in the family. She's being ambushed. She was the target of insult. She was assaulted in her spiritual life. She is publicly attacked in society. Have you ever been around someone that you couldn't hardly stand and you had to work real hard to love them? D.L. Moody, one time, he's often getting letters and words of criticism, and he walked up to the pulpit where he was preaching, and rather than give him some award or a plaque, there laid the word fool. D.L. Moody said, I get many notes that are often unsigned, but this is the first one I've ever gotten where they signed their name and didn't write the note. I'm glad today when I came to the pulpit that I didn't see the word fool when I walked up here today. Thank God for it. Now Hannah is dealing with a problem that's unimaginable and a person that's unbearable. And there are times that God would allow people to cross your path that do nothing but criticize and condemn you. Will you hear me for a minute? The test of character is not how you deal with those who compliment you. The real test of character is how you deal with those that criticize you and those that condemn you. Thirdly, and I'll be done, we have seen that she has now, thirdly, a petition that she will not cease. What will she do about being barren, a problem that won't go away? What will she do about a person that she cannot please? Will she try to get revenge? Will she just drop out and quit because she's discouraged? The Bible says in verse 10, when she was in bitterness of soul, she prayed unto the Lord and she wept sore. She made a petition. What was her response? She prayed. Pastor Darren, what am I going to do about my grievous situation? I'm so discouraged. I'm criticized and condemned. You need to take it to the Lord. You need to talk to Him. You need to trust Him. You need to ask Him to touch you and to bless you and to help you through this. Just to point out in verse 2, she's barren. In verse 6, she's bothered. In verse 7, she's broken. In verse 10, she's burdened. And when she's in bitterness of soul, she went to the Lord. You may say, Pastor Darren, I am too heavy-hearted. I am so broken. I am too broken. But you're not too broken, and you're not too burdened for the Lord to help you. He is well able. In verse 11, as she's praying, she vows a vow. Look what she says. Will you look? O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and what's her words? Remember me. Underline it. And not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. She has made a promise to God. She has made a spiritual commitment to the Lord. She has godly grit. She has spiritual determination. Though she doesn't have any children, though she is not yet a mother, she is determined already what kind of mother she will be. Mom, I don't know what you face today. I cannot change the past. But today, if you would change your attitude, if you would take this to the Lord, He'll help you and He'll turn this situation that's in your family around. She is not going to allow circumstances. She is not going to allow her adversary to dictate what she's going to do. She turned to the Lord. Look with me in verse 12. And it came to pass as she, the word is, continued praying. The word continue means to increase, to intensify. Her prayers are growing stronger minute by minute with every heartbreak, with every headache, with every teardrop. She's not quitting. She's increasing. In fact, her prayer became so fervent that the man of God thought she was drunken. She was so caught up in the Spirit. And verse 15 says, she poured out her soul before the Lord. You may not be able to change your circumstances, but God can.
Amen. Yes.
He's the only one that can. I want to think about not only her response, but look at her reward. Verse 19, they rose up. Now the man of God told her, the Lord's heard your prayer. This thing's going to turn around. God's going to grant it. Verse 19, they rose up in the morning early. They worshiped before the Lord and they went home, and the Lord remembered her. I want to tell you something. Come here. Listen. Will you listen real close? I'm almost done. What does it mean to remember? In the Hebrew, it means to mark as recognized. It means to mention, to be mindful of, to count on, to record, to make mention of. Verse 11, here's a woman that asked God, would you remember me? And verse 19, he did. Here's a woman that her adversary provoked her sore. Here's a woman that nobody had much regard for, but the God of all glory, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, remembered her. He recognized her. He mentioned her. Oh, to be a woman that God remembers. Oh, to be a man that God remembers, a man or a woman of godly character. She's going from barrenness to brokenness to blessedness. The Bible says it came to pass, Hannah conceived and bare a son and called his name Samuel. It means asked him of the Lord. It means asked and heard of the Lord. Now, this young lady made a promise. As this little boy grows up, she'll take him and give him back to God. Look with me in chapter 2. Look what she does. Hannah prayed. After the baby's born, Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord." Oh, isn't that beautiful? She's filled with rejoicing. Verses 18 and 19, she took him to the house of God. The little boy ministered before the Lord, and his mother made him a little coat. Every year, she brought him a little coat. Nobody loves outside of Christ like a mother. I've watched society give up on wayward young men, but not their mamas. Their mamas will stand with them all the way. I want to say this morning, there's a lady, her name was Aunt Birdie. And Aunt Birdie, she was poor. She didn't have nothing. And whenever her supplies and provisions would run out, she would get on her knees, fall on her face, and start crying out to God. She didn't have no air conditioning. Her windows was open. All the neighbors could hear Aunt Birdie calling on God to provide. She's made it this long. God will do it again. Well, there's an infidel moved next door to her. He didn't want to hear her praying. He called the cops on her, complained about noise, but she just served God anyway. And one day, when she opened her cupboards, there was nothing. She fell on her face and cried out to God. And that old infidel said, "I'm going to fix this." He went down to the store and bought her $100 worth of groceries. He come and knocked on the door, set the bags of groceries down in front of the door, and went and hid in the bushes. She opened the door. She started shouting and praising God for delivering, hand delivering her groceries. He jumped out of the weeds and he said, "What are you shouting about? God never sent you these groceries. I bought them." Aunt Birdie said, "Son, you don't understand. I'm praising God because he supplied my every need, even if he used the devil to do it." Honey, I'm telling you today, on the authority of God's word, if you'll turn this thing over to God, if you'll talk to him, if you'll trust him, he's going to turn your family around. He's going to grab hold of your children. He can do what nobody else could ever do. You can count on him. You can trust him, mama. Oh, thank God for a mama that trusted God down through the years. Thank God for a wife that's trusted God down through the years. I want to ask you to stand this morning, church. The Lord, he heals problems. He helps people and he hears prayer. Somebody come to the instrument. Maybe somebody today you need to slip out. Maybe you need to thank God for your mama. Maybe you need to pray with your wife. You need to, whatever you need to do. Maybe you need to be a mama. Today you ask God to strengthen you and to help your little family. Maybe you ought to come praise God for your youngins like Hannah did over her little boy, Samuel. You could have been barren. You might have been begging. God had never had a kid. But God. But God. Would you come today? Father, I thank you for my precious wife. I thank you for my mother. I thank you for the sacrifices. I thank you for the influence and the impact, the wise counsel, the good advice, the love, the support, and the prayers that they have given to me. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would bless mothers all across this church today and those who are within listening. God, that you'd touch them and you'd help them, encourage them, do a work in their life. May you be pleased. May you be honored. May you get a hold of their children. God, may you get a hold of their grandchildren and do a unique work, Father. We glorify and honor you and we praise you this day. We give you glory and honor. Thank you, God, for allowing us to be in church today. Oh, God, I thank you for it. Lord, I thank you for all that you've done in saving our souls and forgiving our sins. And we glorify the name of Jesus. May you bless, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.